3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Arlington at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue each and every day. And may I give you that telephone number early so that you can be ready to dial. I'll have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, the lines will be open. Invitation to you, our listeners, to join in the dialogue and discussion today. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'll be talking about a very, very serious issue today. An issue that I believe will make the determination as to the destiny of America. I believe it's that vital. I believe it's that important. I believe it is that far-reaching. And I'm talking about the Supreme Court oral arguments of what to do about freedom of speech. Oral arguments generally, as we see the case, two cases merged together, brought before the Supreme Court, making the determination, does the government have the right to set up basically what you'd call a misinformation and disinformation board? Does the government have the right to determine and to be the arbiter as to what is free speech and what is not? Does the federal government have the authority to tell we the people what to do? Or is it we the people that are the governing powers in our nation? It is the government of the people, for the people, and by the people? Or is the government of the government, by the government, and for the government? That's the question that we need to ask. And I've reviewed some of the questions that the Supreme Court justices asked and statements that they've made during the oral arguments. Only two out of the nine justices asked conservative questions with the bent leaning the direction of protecting our Bill of Rights. We're going to talk about that today. And I invite you to call. I'd love to hear from you. What is your opinion? How do you stand? What do you think the Supreme Court should do? Should the Supreme Court bifurcate the First Amendment? Should the Supreme Court nullify the First Amendment? Should the Supreme Court modify the First Amendment? Should the Supreme Court interfere at all with the First Amendment? Is the First Amendment a First Amendment? If it is limited, if it is in any way infringed upon? Those are the questions I believe that begs to be answered, asked, and demands to be answered. And the decision that's rendered, hear me, the decision that will be rendered by the U.S. Supreme Court on this case is perhaps the most important Supreme Court case ever heard in the United States of America. It will determine whether or not we have church. Listen, it will determine whether or not we have freedom of religion. See, the First Amendment includes freedom of speech and freedom of religion. You cannot bifurcate it and have freedom of religion without freedom of speech. And yet we find nation after nation after nation around the globe with no Bill of Rights, that's crushing religious liberties, churches, pastors, Christians, persecuting and prosecuting. Is that where we're headed in America? Is that what we want in America? Do we want a misinformation and disinformation governing authority to determine what we can and cannot say? Those are the questions that I lay before you for this broadcast today. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on denominational dogma, not based on political rhetoric, not based on some philosophical jargon. But what does the Bible say? It's what I call a central Biblicist worldview. And I believe that's what's needed today, a central Biblicist worldview. What does the Scripture say? Now, perhaps you say, as some have concluded, perhaps you're saying, well, the church, the pastors, the Christians have no authority to talk about political issues. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest you've not heard me before. God created the home, God created government, God created the church, and He did so in that order. Anything we discuss in person, by way of radio, television, or otherwise, or from the pulpit, any discussion, including civil government, which we call politics today, any question, any communication in relationship to the home, the family, the church, theology, doctrine, biblical truths, all of it is in the confines of a biblical worldview. And I don't know about you, but I think we need to have a central biblical worldview. That central biblical worldview simply says, we look at the world, we look at the globe, we look at what's happening locally, nationally, philosophically, theologically, doctrinally, politically. We look at it through the prism of the Word of God. God's Word is the truth book. John 8:31-32 records a conversation Jesus had with His disciples. He said, if you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. It matters eternally. Psalm 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what the public may think, say, or feel, we're watching the truth being eviscerated. We're watching the truth being determined by those in the Beltway in Washington. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those that speak it. And that is very, very factual today. In fact, we have a desire by the millennials today, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, we have a desire by the millennials to simply somehow, some way, bifurcate truth. Their statement, their position, they're speaking of the millennials. 55% of the millennials say today, each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. It's either truth or a lie. And may I, at the risk of redundancy, state again, a half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have multitudes today that are believing a half-truth rather than the full truth. That's being practiced in the Oval Office. That's being, that comes to mind as I make that statement. The head of the Department of Homeland Security can sit on, you can see him on television, see him being interviewed by one of the House committees, and he will declare, as he's been sworn in under oath, declare that the southern borders are secure. And yet, our eyes show different. The facts are different. 11 to 13 million illegals have crossed the border under the Biden administration. But it's secure. That's taking a whole lie and telling a lie and calling it truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. That is the rationale and the promulgating reason of this broadcast, is that we can determine what is true and analyze what we ought to do as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. You see, the Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And you've heard me say before, I believe we're in a national state of mourning today. And we need to recognize the biblical truth of placing our trust in God and not in man. Psalms 146 and verse 3 says very clearly, put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about electing officials, president, house, the senate, etc., etc. We can do so with scrutiny and with an understanding of where they stand politically, philosophically, religiously, etc. But if we place our total faith and trust in them, we're failing to begin with. We need to place our faith, trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and nothing more and nothing less. And then using heavenly wisdom, make a determination of who would be best suited under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God for us to vote for those that are leading, from the president's office right on down. I'm a little weary with the unelected bureaucrats making the decision on how we ought to live in America. I think it's time, as Trump uses the term, to go in and clean the sewer in the Beltway in D.C. I believe it's time the sewer gets cleaned if we're going to have any hope for the future of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professionals, whether it's the homeowner brand, landscape, and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the question today, could America survive? Will America survive? America without the freedom of speech, can it survive? We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, life in America as we know it because we have a Bill of Rights. Listen, the Bill of Rights were not given to us by government. The Bill of Rights were not given to us by a House or a Senate or Congress or the Supreme Court. They're human rights given to us by God, codified by our founding fathers in a document called the Bill of Rights. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very clear in the Bill of Rights what we have, especially in that First Amendment. The Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment, the U.S. Constitution, was passed by Congress September the 25th, 1789, ratified December the 15th, 1781. And it's been the opinion of constitutionalists and central biblicists since the founding of our great nation that it's on this premise that we have freedom in America today. And without that, I contend there's no religious liberty, there's no freedom of speech whatsoever. Looking at a headline, National Science Foundation spent millions of dollars on artificial intelligence censorship tools to quash what the government calls misinformation. This is an extensive article, but it talks about the weaponization of government. They've awarded nearly $40 million, including $13 million to three different universities and software companies to develop artificial intelligent tools to censor all information on social media, on the big tech platforms, to determine, does it meet government scrutiny? Is it something the government should be intervening in? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the question today. America without the First Amendment, without the freedom of speech, should government be the final arbiter of what you say or I say? Should the government be in a position that it can say, you've misspoken? What you've said is misinformation. What you've said is disinformation. What you've said needs to be quashed. What you've said and what you're saying is not legitimate. We cannot allow it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just turn in on the Communist Network News and you listen to the information that's been espoused on the socialist Marxist media, you determine that they don't believe in any control on the freedom of speech. 80% of what they say, if not more, is absolute lying, deceiving, deceptive, determined to undermine the truth. And yet we have a process today where there's a feeling by the Biden administration, the bureaucrats therein, that somehow, some way they're supposed to control what Christians, conservatives, and patriots say. Now they're calling us Christian nationalists to try to shame and demean and silence the voices of Christians and conservatives in America today. I find it absolutely threatening to our Bill of Rights. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I pray that you're well.
I am well, but I know God is in control.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, Dr. Youngblood, when I heard about Tyson Chicken, letting off, I think it was 2,500, and putting illegal aliens in there, and some of them cannot speak English. Majority of them can. And our president, let me rephrase that. Crazy Joe, he don't care anything about America. He don't care anything about the American people. And on top of that, it is so crazy that they wanted to take our Second Amendment rights away. Because they knew, it wasn't just him, it's his puppet master that knew, okay, we get the guns out of their hands and the black market can get the guns into illegals' hands.
Oh, absolutely. And Kenneth, let me jump in for a moment. The reason our founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment, by the way, the Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to of self-defense, was codified in the scripture, confirmed in our Bill of Rights, and also confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court to be carried out by the citizens. The reason our founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment right was to protect ourselves from the government. There's somehow a mindset that you have Second Amendment rights so you go hunting and fishing. The Second Amendment right was designed by God in the scripture. And I could go to dozens of places in the scripture and validate for you and for our listeners that God gave us the Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense. And yet, not only that, but Kenneth, the thing that is more earth-shaking right now to me is the fact that the Supreme Court's going to rule in the next 90 days. They're going to rule on whether or not you and I have the freedom to speak what we want to speak. We have these goons on television that's using all kinds of vulgarity and blasphemous words because they have freedom of speech. But yet there's a movement by this Biden administration and by the previous one, the Obama administration, that was more subtle, that's saying that the government has the right to tell us what we can and can't say. And now that's what's before the Supreme Court now. Kenneth, the question, kind of an exit question, if you will, do you believe that the government should have any say-so on what you say or what I say?
Pastor Youngblood, you almost made me laugh. They cannot. They can't. And they have big tech and all the media behind them. It's like, remember the Prince of Persia? Mm-hmm. They got the Prince of the United States now. An evil person, evil things. I'm not calling Joe Biden evil. But he's been used by Satan, by the Satan, I call them nymphs. And it's nuts. And like what I call a Smiley. Kamala Harris. And if she get in office, it's going to really get off the chain. Because she even said, oh, I know we going to win. So that let me know you got to set up right now to try to take this election.
Oh, there's no question about it. In fact, they've already instituted mega artificial intelligence tools in order to surveil and censor every word you speak, every word I speak, everything that we text, everything that we email, every telephone call that we make, whether it's a cell phone or a landline. We're being listened to, watched, traced, and tracked, everything, no different in America today, no different than what you find in China, in Russia, in North Korea, and Iran, and other communist and Islamically dominated nations. We're finding the fast track for that. So, Kenneth, the bottom line is, I am concerned about where the U.S. Supreme Court's going to land on its decision. I encourage our listeners to pray, seek God's face, ask God to divinely intervene and give the wisdom that's needed for at least five of our justices, five out of the nine, at least five. God, let five of those justices see what's real and what we, they need to leave the First Amendment alone. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Just declare that the First Amendment is codified and we're leaving it. We're not changing it. We're not modifying it. We're not bifurcating it in any fashion. That's the best rule. Now,
can I ask a question?
Do I think they'll do that? No. Go ahead.
Dr. Yerba, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
You don't think they're manipulating it now?
Oh, they have been. It is being manipulated now. That's the whole thing that brought it to a head, because two states' attorney generals filed a suit. The two suits were merged and finally worked its way to the Supreme Court. Because I think it was in 2021 or 2022 the cases were initially filed, and it was because of the quenching of the voices online about COVID-19. If you'd go online, you'd say, I believe the COVID-19 vaccination is bad for you. That would be sequestered. That would be canceled. That would not go forth because the federal government viewed that as being misinformation and disinformation. Doctors and those that were the epidemiologists, those that were scientists, those that knew the dangers of the COVID vaccine were voicing their opinion on it, and they were squelched and silenced and quietened. As a result of that, we see this case today, and it's all based on the freedom of speech. Did these doctors, do doctors and the medical profession, as well as individual human beings like you and me, do we have the authority to say what we think, what we feel? If the liberals can do it, the left can do it, the wackos can do it, why can't the church, why can't Christians, pastors, and civilians, why can't we have the freedom of speech? That's the whole question that's before the Supreme Court at this very moment. Now, the average person might look at it, well, it's just about a, no, it is very broad, it's not narrow at all. It's the question, do we have a Bill of Rights with the First Amendment, or don't we? Is the First Amendment legitimate, or isn't it? Will the First Amendment survive, or won't it? Will the First Amendment survive in a whole, or will it be bifurcated? In some way infringed upon? That's my challenge. That's my question. Love to hear from our listeners. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. And let me encourage each of us to keep looking up, because the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. We're not totally dependent upon the government whatsoever. We're dependent upon God and God alone. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. America without the freedom of speech? America without a Bill of Rights? Is that okay? What would be the difference in our nation if that happens? Do you realize that our religious liberties are now at stake, ladies and gentlemen? It's this moment, at this moment, in the nation of Canada, they have no Bill of Rights, no guarantee of freedom of speech, and just reading the Bible on public television and radio can get you considered hate speech. You could be canceled and prosecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very, very dangerous thing to see where we're headed in our nation, and it looks very much like what's taking place in Canada today. I'm looking at a headline newsletter from Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ. He said, Biden's deep state is weaponizing our government to persecute and prosecute conservatives. Our constitutional republic is on the brink, and we could lose everything. Jay Sekulow says, in my more than 35 years of arguing before the Supreme Court, I've never seen a more targeted attack on our Constitution than we're witnessing right now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's fact. I believe that is true without any question. And that's from a man that's been handling constitutional issues for 35 or 40 years that made that statement. But ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. This is where I am fearful, what I'm fearful of for America. Headline, Canadian bill could send Christians to jail for just quoting the Bible. Let that sink in a moment. I'm going to read three paragraphs from this article. A proposed Canadian law will be up for vote with that would strip free speech protections from religious groups if they oppose the LGBTQ ideology under the pretense of fighting anti-Semitism and hate speech. In other words, the bill supposedly will fight hate speech and those that are anti-Semitic. But really, the bottom line is, it is a bill designed to quell any free speech that speaks out against the sodomite lifestyle in Canada. This article reads, according to an emailed press release from human rights organizations, International Christian Concern, called ICC, Bill C-367 removes protection for speech about religion from the Canadian Criminal Code. The bill states that it aims to stem the promotion of hatred or anti-Semitism by repealing the two sections of the Criminal Code containing the religious protections. Section 319.3.B states that people cannot be convicted of anti-Semitism if, in good faith, the person expressed an attempt to establish by an argument or an opinion on a religious subject or an opinion based on religious beliefs. Those are that's the portion of the bill, the law that they're canceling, ladies and gentlemen, in Canada. The code also states the same thing in Section 319.3.1b in regard to hate speech. According to the code, means anything, any sign, written or otherwise, visible or presented orally, that advocates or promotes hatred against an identifiable group. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. As we speak in Canada, it's already illegal to go on radio or television and even read Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the sodomites and God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. You cannot do that on public radio or television in Canada. And now the Canadian government is about to pass legislation, make it become law, that if you, a Christian in Canada, says anything in written form, oral form, or published in any fashion, there will be hatred viewed as hatred against an identifiable group, i.e., the LGBTQI organization, that it will be punishable. This article further states the bill would repeal both sections, meaning that Christians or anyone else who opposes the LGBTQ ideology or even quotes the Bible could be convicted of hate speech. Quote, any religious or faith-based expression that is critical of gender ideology, child sexualization, and child sex change would be deemed to be hate speech against the LGBTQ community. It would be a devastating legal tool to attack all people of faith in Canada and will allow politicians working through the courts and police to send devout believers to jail for simply quoting the Bible or any other religious text, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, is that where we're headed in America? Is that what America wants? Is that what our government's doing? Do we think that our governmental officials are following in the footsteps of the Canadian atheist heathens that's doing that to Christians in Canada? I believe that's where we're headed. And I am concerned about it, ladies and gentlemen, because if the Supreme Court rules wrongly on this issue, it can shut down churches. It can put Christians and pastors in jail for simply speaking biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue to talk about the First Amendment and what will America be like without the freedom of speech.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological.